Open your Bibles up if you would, Matthew chapter 27 this morning. Matthew chapter number 27. Brother Jerry read on Palm Sunday and read about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and so we're not going to really talk about that very much this morning. I want to talk about what took place on Friday before the crucifixion this morning. What took place on Friday before the crucifixion? Picture, if you would, with me this morning, a criminal, a murderer, a rebel, sitting in his cell, drawing on the ground. He'd been there for several days. He was probably limp from being beaten, probably had scars of scabs and things on his body. A big kind of rough fellow who is used to a rough life. Used to doing wrong and being punished for it. Knowing that now this is probably the end for him. He'd been caught one too many times. The authorities were sick and tired of dealing with this guy. And so now here he is, knowing he's about to die. And he's sitting in this dungeon. It wasn't a pleasant jail like there is nowadays, if jail can be pleasant. Hay, maybe, perhaps some straw, maybe. All kinds of vermin, bugs, all kinds of things going on. The food was probably non-existent, if at all. Water was putrid. They didn't care if he lived or died. He was just somebody taking up space and breathing air. That's all he was. And so as he sat there, perhaps in the ground, drawing or writing or doing something, he suddenly heard his name. And he could just faintly hear it. Barabbas! Barabbas! He could catch it maybe as the wind kind of blew a little bit. And he kind of heard it, but not quite completely. And as he strained to listen, he heard, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Now he's sitting in a cell, and he knows that he's done wrong. He knows he deserved to die, and now he's hearing his name ring out, and he's hearing "crucify him" along with that name. So he's putting two and two together in his mind, thinking, "I'm dead. They're getting ready to come get me. They're getting ready to crucify me. Well, I deserve it. I've been a murderer. I've been a thief. I've been a rebel. I hate the Roman government. I've done all I could to try to overthrow it and it hadn't worked. I've led many people along. So I deserve to be crucified. I deserve what's going to happen to me." But I'm sure he was still scared. I'm sure his heart was beating as he heard the footsteps in the hallway. He heard the door slam, perhaps, at the outer gate. And he heard them coming closer and closer and closer. And maybe he gripped the bars. And they came to the door. The Roman guard probably had a smile on his face. Barabbas knew he was getting ready to be crucified. And the guard opened up the door and said, "You're free to go." And I'm sure Barabbas looked at him like, "Are you crazy? What do you mean I'm free to go?" "Somebody else is going to take your place." They say, "Now, Brother Brian, where did you come up with that story? Where in the world did that come from? Was that just some kind of a fictional account written?" No, it's right here. And I want to read it for you this morning. Matthew chapter number 27. And we're going to start in verse number 15. It says, "Now at that feast, the governor, Pilate, he was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would." Now, there was two people who were imprisoned at least at this time. One of them was Barabbas, the other one was Jesus. He had been tried in a monkey or a kangaroo court the last evening. We see the first time that he appears before Annas in John chapter 18. Annas was the high priest at one time. He was no longer the high priest. He was what you would call the high priest emeritus. But he was still well respected. And when they had caught Jesus in the garden, they brought Jesus first to Annas. He was well respected. And so they were hoping that maybe he could cast a sentence on Jesus, the Jewish high priest. So they brought Jesus to him first, and Jesus didn't want nothing to do with him, didn't talk to him. Annas asked him questions, and Jesus just stood there numb, didn't say nothing to him. Annas got very frustrated, and so he says, "Get this guy out of here. I don't want to see him anymore. He makes me sick." And so they took Jesus, and they took him before Caiaphas. Now, Caiaphas, he was the high priest. Annas was an emeritus, or was someone who was a high priest, but now Caiaphas was the high priest. He was the one who was going to be able to pronounce Jewish guilt upon Jesus. And so they brought Jesus to him. And while he was there, he asked Jesus, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus didn't say nothing. He says, "What do you got to say for yourself?" And Jesus didn't respond. And all of a sudden, two false witnesses come. And they stand before Jesus and they said, "Hey, we heard Jesus say this. And we heard Jesus, no, he said this." And these two guys couldn't even agree what Jesus had said or what he didn't say. And so there's a lot of unruly things going on. And he said, look to Jesus, says, "Jesus, are you the king?" And Jesus didn't say nothing. So one of the soldiers came up. "How dare you not respond to the high priest? How dare you?" Jesus didn't say nothing. Blood began to run down his mouth. Getting hit in the face is no fun. So they were so frustrated, Caiaphas said, "Get him out of here." They were trying to figure out a way to kill Jesus. They were sick and tired of what he was preaching. He was preaching truth. He was preaching mercy. He was preaching grace. He was preaching that he was the Messiah. And so Caiaphas, being the Jewish high priest, wanted to kill Jesus, but he really had no authority because they were under Roman rule. And so an idea comes to Caiaphas and says, "I tell you what we're going to do. Let's send him to the Roman rulers. Let's convince them to crucify and kill Jesus." So they send him to the next trial. They send him to the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin were the Jewish council, the Senate. And they pronounced that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy. Now he goes to Pilate. Now Pilate, he was the Roman governor. And he had come to Jerusalem because it was time of the Passover. And he came to the feast and he was there to kind of keep things bottled up. See, Pilate, he reminded the people of the wickedness of Rome. Pilate was a vicious man. Pilate was known to kill his own family members when things didn't go the way he wanted to. Pilate was a Roman governor who hated Jews, and the Jews hated him. So now they're sending Jesus to Pilate, and they're hoping that Pilate will pronounce guilt upon this Jesus, and he can be crucified. So he calls Jesus to him, and he says, "Jesus, they say that you claim to be king. Are you the king?" And Jesus said, "You've said it right. I am the king." And he kind of scoffed and he laughed. And he says, "What are you the king of?" He says, "I'm the king of the Jews." Now, he didn't see any guilt because he could care less who king of the Jews was. And Caiaphas got a broad idea. He says, "Where are you from?" And he says, "I'm from Galilee." "Oh, good. I'm going to send you to someone else because I don't find any fault in you. I can't do nothing to you. I'm going to send you to Herod." So they get Jesus, they beat him up a little bit, rough him up a little bit, and they send him to Herod. He goes to Herod. Now, Herod was a Jew. But he was a Jew that was appointed to be in the Roman government. And he was kind of the part of in charge of this area. And people hated Herod. Herod was a very much disliked person. And so they send Jesus to Herod, and Herod says, "Man, I got nothing against you. I can't do nothing to you. I have no authority." And the Jewish leaders were getting tired of this. They wanted Jesus dead, but it seemed like the buck kept getting passed along, and they got frustrated with him. And so Herod says, "Listen, I can't do nothing about this, guys. You, Tim, send him back to Pilate." Now, Pilate, remember, he was the regional governor. He was in charge of the whole region. He was trying his best to keep the Jews happy, and he was doing the best to keep the Romans happy. He was in a bad position. He knows that if the Jews got unruly and they started a riot, it would look bad on him. And he knows that if the Roman government didn't like him, that he was going to be out of a job. So he was in a bad, precarious situation. He didn't want to kill an innocent Jew, but he also didn't want to make the Jews mad. So they send Jesus back to Pilate. And Jesus stands there with Pilate, and Pilate says, "Okay, you've done nothing wrong. What am I going to do?" Jesus is not going to give him an out. Jesus is not going to tell him what to do. And so a bright idea comes to Pilate. "I know what I'll do. I just remembered. Every year during Passover, we release a prisoner. I know what I'll do. In order to get me from being guilty of killing an innocent man, I'm going to give the people a choice. I'm going to offer them Jesus, or I'm going to offer them a thief and a murderer named Barabbas. Surely they're going to choose Jesus. He's done nothing wrong. Surely they'll want to kill the thief and the murderer." That's where the story picks up here in Matthew chapter 27. Verse number 15, it says, "Now at the feast, the governor, who was Pilate, he was to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would," who they wanted. "And there had been a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them," all to the people, he said, "Whom will you that I release unto you? Barabbas, the thief, the murderer, the seditionist, or Jesus, which is called Messiah," or the Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He knew the reason they brought him. He knew he had done nothing wrong. He knew that. So he was trying to get himself out of a bad situation. "So when he sat down," verse number 19, "on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him a message." And this is what the message said: "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Now, we don't know the wife's name, so I'm going to call her Mrs. Pilate. But evidently, the night before, she had a horrible dream. God spoke to her somehow, some way, and delivered her and said, "Listen, this is a just man that's about to be crucified. And when it comes up to your husband, you tell your husband to have nothing to do with doing this." And I suppose she woke up at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, whenever she woke up, scared to death. And then when she started hearing the crowd and she started hearing all these things, she put two and two together and she said, "You know what? I think something is about ready to happen." So she probably sent one of her servants out to find out what was going on. And they came running back to her and said, "They're getting ready to crucify a Jew named Jesus." And I'm sure that the hair on the back of her head just stood up. And I'm sure that she said, "Oh no, that dream I had last night." And so she said, "I'm going to write a note to my husband because my husband doesn't want me to embarrass him in public." Husbands, how many of you like to be embarrassed in public by your wife? Wives, how many of you like to embarrass your husband in public? Now, she could have gone marching in there and said, "Pilate, listen to me." But no, she had enough forthright to understand, "You know, I don't need to do that." So she sends a note to her husband saying, "Listen, have nothing to do with this guy. He's righteous. He's just. He's done nothing wrong." But Pilate does like a typical husband. Ignored it. And all the wives said, "Amen." Guys, here's the first lesson. If your wife is trying to warn you about something, you ought to listen. I remember a long time ago, this is something minor, but this is pretty major. In my position up here, you see everything. And you see everything. I got up to preach one Sunday morning, and XYZ PDQ. How many of you know what that means? My zipper was down. Not on purpose. But somehow, some way, it had, and everybody's looking now. But my jacket was hiding it well. Praise the Lord for that. Now, I had no idea. And my wife was doing all she could to get my attention. Because she didn't want me exposing myself, okay? And she was doing all kinds of signs. I didn't see one of them. And then I looked down and I thought to myself, are you out of your mind? What are you doing? So finally she ended up getting up and she walked to the back of the auditorium and she stood at the door and she did this. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? I thought she was doing this, means cut it. It's over. I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? She was doing this. That's what she was doing. Bless her heart. I praise God for her. I mean, I couldn't do anything without her. And she's doing this, and then she went this. I go, ah. So I walked over here. And I did what I had to do. Now, probably 99% of you had no idea what was going on. Now, how many of you would agree that I'd been very foolish to ignore what she was trying to tell me? Because knowing me, I'd have come out here and I'd have done one of my moves or whatever, and my zipper would have went down, woo! And that would have been greatly embarrassing. But I thank God my wife had enough sense to care about me to tell me that I need to pay attention to what she's trying to tell me. They said, Brother Ryan, what's that got to do with anything? Pilate didn't have enough sense. He ignored what his wife was trying to tell him to do. He was in a hard place. He didn't know what to do. So he did what a lot of us do, just didn't do anything. Here's what it says, verse number 20. But the chief priests and the elders, they persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. He said, okay, who do you want? You want Jesus, who is innocent of all wrongdoing, your Messiah, your Christ, or do you want a thief and a murderer and a rebel released unto you? He was hoping beyond hope that they would say, we want Jesus. But see, the very same people perhaps that had just a few days before shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Praise be to the King of God, the King of the Lord! Praise be to Jesus! The very same ones perhaps that had laid the blankets down in the palms and celebrating His entrance, perhaps they were the very same ones who stood out there in the courtyard and said, we want Barabbas. We want Barabbas. So when Pilate heard that, he didn't know what to do. He knew that Jesus was innocent, and he knew that Barabbas was a thief, but he couldn't back out now. So look what it says. Verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor, Pilate, he said, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. What has he done to you? You know what he did to them? Nothing. He didn't do anything wrong. But Matthew records what Isaiah said was going to happen. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says that he is despised and rejected of men. It says that he was going to be found guilty, that he was going to be like a sheep that was led to slaughter. He was going to be bruised and he was going to be beaten. It says that in Isaiah chapter 53. And so as they screamed for his crucifixion, they were fulfilling prophecy. So the guard came. Barabbas, you're free to go. And I'm sure Barabbas was shocked as they led him out, opened up the door, and the sunlight hit his face, and he heard the crowd screaming, "Crucify him." But Barabbas knew it wasn't him that was going to be crucified. He knew it was someone else. Now my question is, Barabbas, did you care who it was? Did you even ask Barabbas who was going to be crucified in your place? Did you even try to find out? We don't know. So instead of a murderer and a thief and a rebel justly dying for his sins, they crucified a lamb, an innocent lamb, Jesus. And they say, "Brother Brian, what's the big deal? What does that mean to us?" May I introduce to you Barabbas, right here. What? I'm a murderer. I'm a thief. I'm a rebel. I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I am just like Barabbas. Well, then why are you preaching to us? Because so are you. I deserve crucifixion. I deserve to suffer. But instead, Jesus took my place. An innocent lamb. But it wasn't just any lamb. It was the Lamb of God. And Jesus came purposely to die in our place. He came and died so that you may live. He came and died and took my place and your place. You see, Brother Brian, I'm not such a bad guy. I'm not such a bad woman. I don't do bad things. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's be honest this morning. How many of you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you from the very time you can remember? How many of you ever done something like that? Oh, come on. How many of you ever lied? All the rest of you, raise your hands. How many of you ever had a bad thought about somebody? You're a murderer. I'm not going to ask this one, but you can think, how many of you ever lusted after somebody of the opposite sex? You're an adulterer. So here I am, I stand amongst a bunch of liars and thieves and murderers and adulterers. That about sums it up, don't it? We all have. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Barabbas was all that and more, and he was proud of it. Yet Jesus took his place. So I am Barabbas. Jesus took my place so that I may go free. Do you appreciate what Jesus did for you? Do you really honestly thank God for forgiving you of all your sins and taking your sins away through Jesus? Do you really? Or is it just something you take for granted? Is it just something that you get up and, ho-hum, it's Sunday morning, we'll go sing a few little songs, and no! Is it something that should grip your heart and say, I deserve to die! I deserve to be punished! Thank you, God, for forgiving me. If you're like me, I fail God daily. And if up on a screen somehow, some way, all of my sins were listed that I'd done wrong, I'd be looking to go underneath a pew somewhere because I'd be so ashamed. Now, I know there's some of you pious ones out there. I never do wrong. We all sin. That's not an excuse, it's just reality. And I say that to say this. It ought to mean something to you. It ought to mean something to you when I say that God loves you and sent Jesus Christ to pay for your sins. So Jesus was led out after being beaten. He was led out to be crucified instead of you and me. And I hope that that story never gets old. I hope that daily you're reminded what God has done for you because He loves you. His grace and His mercy in spite of you. So when we sang that song, "My chains are gone, I've been set free," it means something. I'm free! I don't have to answer for my sins. Jesus did it! Just like Barabbas, Jesus took our sins away. Hallelujah. Amen. She's awake. Unlike some people this morning. Have you been set free this morning? I'm not just talking about a story that you may have heard, or a little prayer that you might have prayed, or a little card that you filled out. Look at me. Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins? I didn't ask you if you become a Baptist. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. That's not what I'm asking you. Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins, and have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? For with the heart, it's got to come. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's something we need to be reminded of. We're forgiven. We're free. But it costs Jesus everything. So who are you this morning? Are you Barabbas? Yes. But more than that, I'm a child of the King because of what Jesus has done. Amen to that. That's the message of the cross. Thank God, though, Jesus didn't stay there. We'll talk about that next Sunday. That's what Easter's all about. Praise God for the cross. But I praise God even more for the empty grave. So here it is, folks. Are you Barabbas? If you're Barabbas, what have you done about it? I hope that today you're ready. Say, God, forgive me. I need Jesus to save me. That's what it's all about. So let's stand together this morning. There's nothing wrong with admitting that you're Barabbas. Let's not bow our heads yet. Look at me a few minutes if you wouldn't mind. There's nothing wrong with admitting that you're Barabbas. Admit it. God knows about it. Tell Him about it. The hardest part is asking Him to forgive you and then acknowledging that you need a Savior. That's the hardest part. So here's my question. What are you going to do? Are you going to admit it and make it right today with God? You're not here by accident. God has divinely brought you here. What are you going to do? Heavenly Father, we love You. And we thank You that You provided a way for us. We thank You that You sent the perfect Lamb of God, Your Son, to pay for our sins. God, I deserve to be crucified. I am worse than Barabbas. But you love me so much that you sent a Savior to pay for me. Forgive me for the times I've taken that for granted. Forgive me, God, for forgetting it. May it be renewed in my heart today. And for the precious souls this morning that don't know that in here, for those who've never trusted Christ as their Savior, may today be that day. That's the only hope we have. That's the only hope we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I invite you to come right now. Come down. I'll pray with you if you want to pray. But whatever you need to do, I invite you to come right now and tell God, God, I need you. Thank you for dying for my sins. Brother Danny's going to sing. I invite you to come right now. Come on down.